all familiar with the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Gemara tells over the Maisa that took place by the Churban of the second Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was taken out of Yerushalayim, and he came before the Kesar, and he came to Beitz Chayis before the Melech, certain tavis that he wanted from the Melech. And he went to the Melech, he went over to the Tsar, to the general, and he called him a Melech. The Gemara says that he told him, Imalka ano, if I am Taka, if you consider me a Melech, Amaili ka'osis l'gaboy ahu idno. So why didn't you come until now? Why did you wait until now to come to see me? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered to him, Bayoni de Isbon lo shavkina. The Bayonim that were there would not allow me to come to see you. They stood around by the walls of Yerushalayim, and they would not allow Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to go out to speak to the general or to the king. Amalei. So the general said to him that this itself is not an excuse. Ilu chavi shel dvash v'darken koruch aleha. If you have a chavis, that in the chavis there is honey, and there's a snake that's curled around the chavis, so you want to get the chavis of the dvash, but you can't get to it because of the snake that's around it. Loihayu shayver mes hachavis b'shvil darken. Wouldn't you break the chavis in order to get rid of the snake? In other words, what he was telling over to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was that if you truly wanted to come to see me, so you would have seen to it that Yerushalayim should be, the walls of Yerushalayim should be destroyed, should be broken down, in order that you should be able to come to see me. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not answer anything to the general. The general had the winning argument. The fact that you couldn't come out of Yerushalayim because the Bayonim was standing in the way, break down the walls of Yerushalayim, and that way you'll be able to come out. And this the Gemara says, Karu alei Rabbi Yosef, Vitema Rabbi Akiva, Meshiv Chachomim Ochar, V'daitom Yiskol, Iboilu lemeim alei, Shaklinan Tzavso, V'shaklinan lei ledarka, V'katlinan lei, V'chaviso shaklinan lo. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai should have said that the mashal is not a good mashal. I was looking for a way to be able to get rid of the snake without breaking the barrel. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai should have answered back to the general that that's not a taina that I should have seen to it to destroy the walls of Yerushalayim. It's interesting that the Gemara brings down this discussion and what the general came to Taina. And in the Rav Miller in his Shmuzin, he brings down from the Darius HaRishonim that the Gemara over here was telling us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was oimid, that what the general was telling him was min hashamayim, that there is a yesod of why the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash has to take place. There's an insight of why the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash has to take place. The Beis HaMikdash itself, or Yerushalayim itself, is likened to a barrel of dvash, and the Bayonim were around this barrel of dvash, or there was something that was around the barrel of dvash, and it's necessary to break the barrel of dvash, or it's necessary to destroy Rachman al-Islam, the Beis HaMikdash, in order to get rid of the Sinai that's around the Beis HaMikdash. And this is a Yesod in the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash and the Yesod of the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was Chorev because of the Aveira of Avodah Zarah, Gila Rois, and Shvichas Damim. Who was the one that brought Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael? It was the different kings that were found, the Malachim, that were found in Eretz Yisrael. They're the ones that brought Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael. So in order to get rid of the Malachim, you have to destroy Gans Eretz Yerushalayim. By destroying Yerushalayim, so there is no Malchus. If Yidden are going to go into Golus, so then the whole Shaychus of Malchus is not going to be Shaykh, and the Melu will get rid of the Inyan of Avodah Zarah. So the Churban of the first Beis Hamikdash was not only as an Einish for the Chet of Avodah Zarah, but that was the Hechatimsa of how to get rid of the Aveira of Avodah Zarah in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. So we know that from the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash onward till the Churban, the leader of Klal Yisrael was the Kohen Gadol, and the center of Yerushalayim was the Beis Hamikdash, the one that had control on the Beis Hamikdash. He was the one that was the center point. He was the one that had control over Eretz Yisrael. And from the beginning of the Beis Hamikdash, when the Gemara says that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, so they were the ones that had control of the Beis Hamikdash, but ultimately the Chashmonaim, they are the ones who took control of the Beis Hamikdash, and they themselves turned into Bisyavnim, and therefore they were in control of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara talks about Yanei HaMelech that wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, the Kusim, the Tztukim, that they wanted control over the Beis Hamikdash. There always was a battle of who is in control of the Beis Hamikdash. It was necessary for the Beis Hamikdash to be Chariv in order to free Klal Yisrael from those leaders, from those people that were leading Klal Yisrael. They were the Kohanim, but the fact that they were Kohanim didn't make it so that they were roy to be the Manhigim of Klal Yisrael. The first Beis Hamikdash after was Chariv, the Malachim fell away, no more kings. Who were the leaders of Klal Yisrael? Ezra Sefer, Mordechai HaTzadik, V'chulu, the people of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who were appointed into the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, not because they yarshened it, B'Yerusha, from their fathers, but because they were Roy Lekach, they were Tzadikim, Talmidei Chachamim. In the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, who took over as the leaders of Klal Yisrael as a result of the fact that the second Beis Hamikdash was Chariv, was taken over by Yavne v'Chachomer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiva, the Talmidov, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lezer, and so forth and so on. They automatically became the leaders of Klal Yisrael, not because they yarshened the position, but because they were the Talmidei Chachamim. It was necessary to destroy the second Beis Hamikdash in order that the true leaders of Klal Yisrael should be able to come out to fear Klal Yisrael. And the Nekuda is that often this is repeated in our history, that a Churban, Rachmon Lislan, comes on to Klal Yisrael. And the reason that the Churban comes on to Klal Yisrael is in order that a matzav, a situation that's in existence, and this situation that's in existence, the way it is dragging down Klal Yisrael. And it's necessary to change the Mahalach of the Doris. And the only way to change the Mahalach of the Doris is by Rachman Islam bringing about a Churban in Klal Yisrael, shaking up the Doris, the generations, taking away the so-called leaders that will be found in Klal Yisrael, so that Klal Yisrael could be led by the Chachomim, and Memela, Klal Yisrael should be able to pull itself back and to exist on a different madrig. This is more or less the way it's explained, the way he explained how we have to understand the situation that led up to the Churban of the Holocaust that Rachman Lislan took place not that many years ago. And the story begins approximately 250 years ago, in the year approximately 1740, in the year that the Zohar HaKadosh talks about Kasha Yovai Ha'elef Hashlishi Ubishesh Me'ai Shona Le'elef Hashishi. The Zohar HaKadosh talks about Shnas Tar approximately 250 years ago. Something is going to happen in the world. And of course, the Zohar HaKadosh was written, Rav Shim ben Yochai lived approximately 2,000 years ago, and this is what he wrote, what's going to take place, Bishnas Tar. Yiftachu Sharei HaChochma Lamala, will be opened up, the She'orim, the gates of Chochma, Lamala in Shamayim, referring to the She'orim of Torah, Umayonis HaChochma Lamata, and also the gates, the floodgates of Chochma Lamata, Ukneses Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yokim Oisa Be'ofar HaGolus V'Yizkar Oisa. And the words of the Zohar go on and on to say that it would be Kam Azman of Pekida, Azman that would be Mesugal for the coming of Mashiach. Shnas Tar. There were many that saw in the words of the Zohar HaKadosh, it's Azman Pekida, and much has to be done in order to see to it that Mashiach should take it come. It was Azman that was Mesugal for Biyas HaMashiach, and we have to see what we need to do in order to bring Mashiach. That was one Aveda that took place, and we're not going to discuss this too much. But as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yiftuchu Shari HaChochma Lamalu, and the Shari Chochma Lamala that the Zohar HaKadosh is referring to is what's known as the Dor Deya, the generation that existed starting approximately 250 years ago, when we had tremendous amount of Talmidei Chachamim Tzadikim, much beyond what normally exists in a generation or in two or three generations. I'm talking about the Zman of the Pnei Yeshua, the Neidav Yehuda, the Nesivis, the Crazy Uplasi, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the Haflor, Rabbi Dosan Adler, the Ktsois, Rabbi Kivega, the Chsam Seifer, the Goin V'Talmidov, the Baal Shem Tov V'Talmidov, the Prima Godim, V'Oid, 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 many, many, many more that we're not mentioning, that all lived in that generation. And Ad Hayoim, this is the Torah, when we sit down to a Blat Gemara, when we open up a Shulchan Aruch, so it's the words of these Chachomim that lived in those years that we learn Ad Hayoim, the Dor Deya, Meiri D'Keshefa, of Torah, of Yira, of Aveda, that took place, that the Zohar HaKadosh tells us is going to take place. The Zohar HaKadosh was Divrei Neviyos, is going to take place in this time. And that's the pashtus of Yiftachu Shari HaChochma Lamal. And when the Zohar HaKadosh says, Mayonis HaChochma Lamata, that there'll be a Shefa of Chochma Lamata, so the pashtus is that when the Tzadikim of the time said that this refers to what is commonly known in the world today as the Renaissance. This is the time of enlightenment and emancipation that took place in the world. The world was going through, before that time, the Goyish Welt was going through what was known as the Dark Ages. Chochma, Bederech Klal, in Europe, in those countries in Europe, was not found. People lived in darkness. Mit Amol is geworden a Shefa von Chochma that came out into the world of Europe. And into this world came on new inventions, the machinery, understanding of science, understanding of medicine, a myriad of Shefa of Chochmas Hagoyim that was mushpa in the world, and it changed the ganze mahalach from the Welt. The world that lived in a situation of superstition, tremendous hardship, started pulling out of that matzav because Chochma was brought on into the world. Chochmas Hagoyim was brought on into the world. At the same time that Chochma was brought into the world, so the Goyim themselves freed themselves from superstition that they lived in, the darkness of superstition. Their matziv, their gashmiistic matziv, started being lifted up, lived a better kind of a life. And at the same time, going together with this hashpa of Chochma was a spirit of liberalism, of freedom. Freedom for the people that they lived amongst, of other goyim. But what's most important to us is freedom for the Yidden. Until that time, and up until that time, we Yidden lived in ghettos. Living in ghettos was not a poshet azach, wasn't a simple thing, wasn't a geshmaka thing at all. It was a very fatzorata type of a gashmiistik leben that we had to live. Tremendous poverty, lived in a always with problems of diseases, always with problems of pogroms. We didn't have the ability to be able to leave the walls of the ghetto to be able to do what we would like to do. We were always a target for the goyim that lived around us, because being that we weren't allowed to leave the walls of the ghetto, so they always knew where they could find us, so we lived in fear. In this time, because of the different, of the shefa of Chochma, of what's called the enlightenment that came onto the world, so little by little, the walls of the ghettos were thrown down. We're talking about the times that brought about the French Revolution, the American Revolution. We're talking about the times of Napoleon, who took the philosophy of the revolution of the French and the American Revolution and went to spread it out into the Welt as much as he was able to spread it out before he himself was taken down. That was the ruach that was found in the world at that time. And Rav Dessler, when he goes to explain how did the Yidden look at that tkufa, was tutzach auf der Welt, why did the Ribbono Shlom bring such a shefa of chochma, and why did he bring for Yidden as a shefa of freedom onto the world? And he says the teretz is a davar pashit. And yet the Yidda does good verstanden, that the reason was that we should be able to do avoida on a higher level than we were able to do before. Today, that we should be able to be makabel p'nei Mashiach tzidkein. Stellen sich vor, now if our gashmiistik matzev will get better, we'll be able to spend more time learning. We don't have to hide with our gemara someplace. We'll be able to build bigger and better yeshivas. We don't have to be fearful that the goyim can come. We could daven in any way that we wish. And memela, we'll be able to lift ourselves up in madregas of aveda, and ultimately Mashiach would come. That's how Rav Dessler and Chelek Dalet of his sefer's Masber, the way Sayyid, that was a Shema Torah mitzvahs, looked at what was going on in the world and why this was going on in the world. The chaval was that there were many other Yidden that looked at what was going on in the world, and they gave it a different look altogether. And they started a movement of what's called until today the Haskalah. And the definition of the Haskalah is these Yidden coming out of the walls of the ghetto, coming into the world and seeing the world that the Goyim lived in, and the world that the Goyim lived in now was a meridike shena gashmiistike welt. So they wanted to be able to live like the Goyim. Nie kechol ha-Goyim. And instead of using the freedom that they had to become greater Balei Avodah, they used the freedom that they had to be able to shtel sich zu, to be able to live like the Goyim lived. And a lot of this was brought about, and a lot of the effect of it came about because of a person who was a very big Talmud Chacham, and for what we know of him, he was a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. His name was Moses Mendelssohn, and he used this as a shita. He says, you want to be accepted by the Goyim. They're letting you out of the ghettos. You want to be accepted by the Goyim. In order to be accepted by the Goyim, you have to be like them. But that wasn't all that he said. He said, the Goyim have lots what to offer us. They have culture that we don't have. They could write, they have beauty, they have many different chachmas that we don't have. And it's there for us to take a chelik of their chachma, to use their chachma, and to use their shenkite, if anything, to be tried to build ourselves up to be able to become like them. And he was a tremendous hashpa on the Yidden, that they spent their time and their days trying to become like the Goyim that were all around them. He, Mendelssohn himself, Gdolei Yisrael, realized the sakana of what he was trying to do. And afilu naniach, and it's not so poshit, but afilu naniach that he was a shomer Torah mitzvahs, but they realized the churban that's going to come out of this. And the churban did come out directly from him. Some of his children and most of his grandchildren poshem zechob gishmat, and they became like Christians. Amongst the Yidden themselves, as a result of this movement, there was a tremendous influx of Yidden that Rachman l'Zlarham zechob gishmat, literally became Christians. Favos, because the grandeur was by them. If you walked into a place and the shenkait and the way, the yaftali kimli yefes was by them. And what they say is that approximately 250,000 Yidin Rachman l'Islam zechob gishmat, and they became Christians. The only thing comparable to that is what took place in the time before the Spanish Inquisition. And amongst those Yidden that didn't become Christians and remained Yidden, but they remained Yidden, Lama Zechrufin, Goyish Asort Yidden, Yidden that would be able to make themselves, compare themselves to the Goyim, to lead a Goyish Asort life. I remember when I was a Bocher, I found a sefer. At the time I didn't know who the Mechaber was. I found a sefer called Sefer HaBiur. And it was a good sefer, v'asot zeh gutta teiris in the sefer. And I brought the sefer up to one of my rabbeim, and I was showing him the sefer because we were discussing pshat in one of the rishonim and ezok pshat. And I was showing him the sefer. He says, where did you get the sefer from? The tarnish kuken of their sefer. So I told him I found it in the Seamus box somebody dropped off in the yeshiva. He says, the tarnish kuken of their sefer. I said, why not? What's wrong with the sefer? He says, this is a sefer that was written by Mendelssohn. And he wrote it in German. It was written in German, translated into Lashon Kodesh. But originally was written in German, and tarnish kuken of their sefer. So I said, what's wrong if it was written in German? Reb Shamshon Rafal Hirsch also wrote his sefer originally in German, and it's Niskabel b'chol tfutzeis Yisrael. What's the nafkamina? So he told me a very sadistic nafkamina. The sefer HaBir was written in German to try to get Yidden to learn German. Yidden didn't know how to read German. And he wanted to get people to read German. Nu v'elecha elecha Yid is going to read German. So in order to try to get them to read German, he wrote a sefer, an aguta sefer, and he wrote it in German to draw people away from Kodesh into the German language. Rav Shamshon von Hirsch, it was by him, Nebuch, just the opposite. He wrote a sefer for people who didn't know Lashon Kodesh. They knew German. And he was trying to bring them to the other side, back to Lashon Kodesh, or to Kodesh, or to Torah. So therefore, he had to write it in German. The mechuvin of the sefer, Habir that was written, is to try to illustrate to Yidden Vishenus is the German language. And Vishenus is the German culture, in order that Yidden themselves should adopt for themselves this German culture. The understanding amongst these, in the time of the Renaissance, by these people that were called the humanists, the people who gathered this Chachma together, is that all of the persecutions and all of the tsaris that different people had all came about because people weren't educated. And now that people are going to become educated, Chochmah is going to come onto the world. So Ibazoi, there's no more fear. We Yidden don't have to be fearful anymore that we're going to run into any tsaris. The Goyim treated us badly because of superstition, because of the way they looked at us. But now they were convinced, they convinced themselves that now that there'll be a shefa of chochma in the world, Sinas Yisrael is going to go away as long as we become like them and as long as we shteltzu to the way that they lead their lives. Together with this, what it meant was that we have to be like them. The Yesaidis that we had, Benegeya to what Chazal tell us, Benegeya to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Leishinu Eshemam, Leishinu Es Malbusham, these Yesaidis, they of course would have to change. We'd have to adopt Goyish names, the unique Malbush of a Yid, the unique Tzura of a Yid. All of this is going to have to change so that we could blend in amongst the Goyim. We mentioned the G'dayle Yisrael that lived in that generation. And we mentioned also that one of the G'dayle Yisrael that lived in that generation was Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And of course, we know that Rabbi Yaakov Emden is perhaps most famous for the Siddur that he wrote, the Pirish of the Siddur that he wrote. And in the Siddur, he talks about what was going on in the generation. And he says he can't understand it. He says, as much as the Goyim were loath to see to it that they should lead a Megushim Dika life, he says the Yidden were, these Yidden Nebuch were Mahader. They were Mahader to follow the Goyish lifestyle, so to say, even more than the Goyim did. And he talks about the way that the men dressed. And amongst the women also the same thing. The way they went out of their way to outdo even the Goyim. And he talks about it. And he says that where does this come from? That they have to go and to be medama themselves to the Goyim. And this is what he says. He says he thinks that the chesaron comes about because of a lack of a midah of gaiva. Klal Yisrael is lacking a midah of gaiva. And he goes right away to explain. Ubevadai layovin shum pikeach bedvorai al miyat ha-gaiva hasrucha. I'm not talking about the gaiva. That's a terrible midah of gaiva. and he explains what he's referring to. That's not the gaiva that he's talking about. He says, what does he mean by gaiva? He's talking about the pride, zu sein ayid, and what it means, the significance that it means to be ayid. Sheneida v'nakir erech tzuras hanefesh hakadosha. That a person, a yid, should be makir, the godless of his neshama. And therefore, he says, he should not be meshabed himself to the life of the pchusim that were all around him, because he's from something higher. He's from something greater. And he says, Yaakov Emden says this in his Sefer, that if we are going to, these are the words that he says, that was written 250 years ago. Afi mitchilo kibluhu b'sever ponim yafais. Even if the goyim are going to be makabalos now, b'sever ponim yafais, l'b'soif yishavdu boi b'ferech, the end is going to be that they are going to be meshabed us by forcing us to work with hard labor beforech, v'yigashu min ha'aretz, and they are going to drive us out of their country. And the fact that right now they're mekabel you, he says, don't let it fool you. The end is going to be that he's going to drive you out. And once again, he attributes it to the fact, as is felt by Klal Yisrael, their gaiva versus main to Zayin Ayid, what he calls the gaiva, the kedusha, from Zayin Ayid, the hakara of the roimus of the neshama of Ayid. We don't think of it that way. We don't realize it that way. And therefore, we see it as a glick, as a maila, to be mizdama to the goy. We have in the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in the Darius HaRishayim, he talks about the milus of Klal Yisrael. He says it the same way. He says over that Torah is something that's for us. Torah is taken not for the goy. Anoichi Hashem lekecha asher etzisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Melech says, then you went out of Mitzrayim. We didn't go out of Mitzrayim. Do you mean to say that we don't have to keep the Torah? He says, yes, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to keep the Torah. You're not like us. We're different. This Maila, as a Yidav Margish Zayin, so Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that this Gaiva, the Kedusha that he calls, that he refers to, this is something that was lost by Yidden. And he says that the day is going to come that, Rachman Lislan, we're going to pay for it. The matzav amongst the Yidden fell lamata, lamata, from one madrega to another madrega, nisht chalila by all Yidden, but by roiv minyan ubinyan of Klal Yisrael, over a period of close to 200 years, until it became accepted amongst them as we make chasnav mitagoy rachmanol etzlan, all of the shmiris, all of the halachis, all of the gedorim, all of the yisaidis hatera b'negeya to kedushas Yisrael and tairis Yisrael was all lost by these people, and they became rachmanol etzlan slowly but surely an influence on different people in Klal Yisrael, and the movement, this movement, the haskalah, what we would call in English the reform movement, got bigger and bigger. It reached its peak between the First and Second World War. And the reason for this was is because all kehillas that were found in the world, in the Yiddish Welt, where there was a Rav, a Shtetl, Gat HaRav, Gat HaYeshiva, so everything became bottled because Nebuch, in the time of the First World War, Yidden were thrown from one end of the world to the other end of the world. So any structure that there was that helped us, that was something there for a yid to hold on to, a rav that was mechazik his tzibur. A lot of this got destroyed between the two world wars. And one other prat, although we discuss Germany, where the Haskalah began, but ultimately the Haskalah moved its way east, through Poland and into Russia. And in Russia, Russia is always behind the rest of the world in modernizing itself. And the Tsar in Russia wanted to become modern like the rest of Western Europe, looked to modernize the people that were there. They were convinced that one of the ikuvim of modernizing their country was the fact that you had Yidden. And these Yidden, they dressed and they talked and they acted. They weren't educated. They were a throwback to the old generation. And so they were convinced, the government in Russia was convinced, that in order to modernize the whole country, they have to find a way to modernize the Jew. And modernize the Jew means to take away Torah mitzvahs from the Yid. Who were these people that convinced the Tsar that this is what has to happen? Yidden themselves, the maskilim that came into Russia, they had a koyach in the government itself. They started an organization called the Esvestia, though I don't think I'm pronouncing it exactly right. And there they were Yidden, and the tafkid of these Yidden was to do everything within their koyach, arois reisen rachman leslan Yiddishkeit, from Yidden that were found in Russia. And so the Haskalah moved its way towards the east. And even though the truth of the matter is that it didn't bring us freedom, the whole yesod of the Haskalah was that as the world becomes more modernized and more educated, so the redifus against the Yidden, the pogromin, they're all going to stop. That's not what happened. And the pogromin kept up. So therefore, the yesod of this whole movement, the Pashtas, Yidden should have realized it themselves. There's something wrong, Epis, with the understanding of what they were doing. But they always attributed it to something else. And they started different types of Haskalah movements in order to hopefully stop the pogroms, to stop the Sinas Yisrael, never coming to the realization that the only way that they could possibly stop the tzara that's going to come from the goyim is only if we'll be ma'aser b'tshuva and go back. Gan's Klal Yisrael should go back to the mahalach, to the derech ha'teira, to do tshuva. That's what's going to bring shalom. That's going to bring Klal Yisrael to a matziv that we should be able to live b'shalom amongst the goyim. The Tshuvas Achiezer, Chela Gimel, we know that Rav Chaim Eizer was nifter in the beginning of the Second World War, mamish in the beginning of the Second World War, and he writes something, and I'm just using him as a reference. The same thing, be said, is written in many, many different svarim. He says the tzaris that we have now is the redifas that Yidden are going through in every different country in Europe is doch gefel. He says, and it started, the redifas, he says, started from Germany. And the reason that the redifas started from Germany is because the Haskalah started in Germany. And the redifas, he says, which started in Germany, are moving their way east into Poland and into Russia. It's found in France and it's found in different countries that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, took control of. And he says the reason for this is because that's the path of the Haskalah. The redifas against Klal Yisrael is just following the path of the Haskalah. And so we come to the situation of Klal Yisrael before the Second World War. As a result of the First World War, Germany lost the war, and because of the fact that Germany lost the war, there was a tremendous sinner that was found amongst the German people. They felt that they were dealt with wrongly as a result of the war. There was poverty, depression that was there. But anything that was resolved in the First World War, they felt was against them. And so there was a movement in Germany to be able to lift themselves back up again. And at this point, there began a movement in the world amongst different countries that never existed in the world before. And that is what we know of as the fascists. The definition of a fascist is people that believed that their culture is on a higher madrega than any other culture. Their nation, by virtue of the fact that they were who they were, not because of what they did, but because of who they were, so they were on a higher darga than anybody else. And in the Europeans, you had the Germans and you had the Italians, the fascist movement. And in the Orientals, you had the Japanese. As a result of this philosophy of fascism, so the Germans held that their culture, which they called the Aryan culture, by virtue of the blood that ran through their veins, because of who they were, not because of what they accomplished, but because of who they were on a higher darga than anybody else that was in Europe. And when they looked towards the Russians, so they said, the Russians are destined to be slaves. The Germans, they're on the highest darga of Bnei Adam. The next darga of Bnei Adam is the Slavs, what we call today the Russians. And because they're in a lower madrega of Bnei Adam, so their lot in life is to be slaves to the higher madrega of the Aryans. That's what they're supposed to be doing because they're a subculture. And the lowest culture that there is in the world is the Jew. He's the subculture. And you think of the words of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and you think about the Midah Keneged Midah, and the message Kamat that every Yid should have picked up, as Rabbi Yaakov Emden zogt, that the Chet that took place in the time of the Haskalah was because of Zatgefelt, the Gaiva, the Kedusha. So here you have Goyim that are looking at us and are telling us that we are not on the same darga of Bnei Adam like they are. And understand what this means. We were the greatest of the scientists. We were the greatest physicists in Germany. We were the greatest doctors. We were the greatest of the greatest in everything. But they said that the reason that we were able to accomplish all that we accomplished was because we drew out all of these talents from them. And they're really the source of everything that there was. But we ourselves, a Yidin himself, is the lowest of the low. And who is the highest? The highest is the Aryan culture, the Germans. And we know we have a Messiah from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, who said that he had a Messiah from the Goyin, that the Germans are Bnei Amalek. And Benegeya to Bnei Amalek, Meves Noch the Psukim in the Torah. Amalek is Layar Lekim, Mochai Timcha Zecher Amalek, from all the Goyim. All the Goyim, they could live and they could survive. They could be there. Nochtem was Mashiach kumt, als Goyim, but they could be there. They could survive. Amalek hat nicht kein Platz auf der Welt. And these are the people who took for themselves this position. They became the fascists that were found in Europe, who claimed to be the most talented and the greatest of the people that were living in Europe. And the thing that bothered them more than anything else is that not only are the Yidden attaining all of their successes by drawing from the Goyim, but by the Yidden living amongst the Goyim, they're diluting the blood that's running through the veins of the Aryans. Their Milo was who they were, not what they did, but who they were. They're a culture, they're a people that's on a higher Madrega. And now you have a situation that people on the lowest Madrega are mingling amongst them. And they are sort of thinning out their blood. And this is the language, more or less, that Hitler Yimach Shema used, that the Yidden are diluting the Kayach of the Aryans by mingling with them and by intermarrying with them, marrying amongst them. So they're bringing down this culture. So the sinner that the Germans, Yimach Shemam, had against the Yidden, the sinner came about nicht weil von der frumme Yidden, because the frumme Yidden wanted nothing to do with them. They wanted to be left alone on the side and do their own thing. It was the freie Yidden, the Yidden that Taka wanted to mingle amongst the Goyim and wanted Rachman Leslan to assimilate and intermarry amongst the Goyim. It was then that the Germans detested because of what they were doing to their race. They're destroying their race. Nochamol, we see epis the meridika koil that comes min hashamayim. It's not different from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that he said before the war, that the Gemara tells us that nevuah is pasak. But a baskol, the musik from baskol, is never posak. That always exists, and that we can always hear. So Rabbi Chanan asked the kasha, but we don't hear a baskol either. And under a zogin that the neshama hears the baskol, Rabbi Chanan said that the baskol is different simonim that go on in the world. With Ribbono Shalom is, as I like we would say, communicating with us, trying to get across a point by sending different simonim. Rabbi Chanan said, "Afilu from the Sinai Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with us." But this, because we understand the musik of Mida Keneged Mida. If the Goyim want to spit us out because they don't want them to be part of them, so we have to stop and think that it's not just the Goyim that don't want us to be part of them, but the Ribbono Shlom doesn't want us to be part of them. And what the Goyim really are doing is they're telling us that this is not where we belong. What to us it means in Am Segula is that we have to bring Kveit Shemayim on the Welt. We're the Am Segula. To the Goyim, we came the Ambozui in order that we should listen to the Koil, that the message that Ribbono Shleilom was sending us. And if we go through the different gzeiras that took place after the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, took control, and we're talking about approximately 10 years before the Second World War broke out. Over a period of 10 years, the different gzeiras that they made b'nei geya to Yidden living in Germany. And some of them are just strange and weird. Amongst the gzeiras was that a Yid was not allowed to sit in the theater together with the goyim. Hostishkin Platz, You can't go into our theaters and our circuses. You can't sit there together with us. There was, they took together the books, the Goyesha books, that were written by Eden, and they burnt them in the town squares. We don't want your chachma. We don't want your physics. We don't want your science. They burnt them down. They made different gezeiras. Jews are not allowed to enter public gardens, to visit health spas, swimming pools, or to own dogs. Was art to say that a Yid owns a dog? A dog, the gate in the gas, mit a hund, derech COVID. So the Yidden, yeah, you could live amongst us, but you can't be on that same plane. You can't be on that same darga as us. It was against the law to marry, for a Yid, to marry a German woman, or for a Yiddish woman to marry a German. It's against the law. Yeah, it's against the law. Shenem all against the law. But it became against the Goyish law. It was considered a criminal offense. And lav dafka, if a person was a Yid, like we would say, a practicing Jew, even if he was, achman l'tzlan, a Christian, but three dairas back, he was a Yid. The Tate Zayda was a Yid. Meves Nara is Nachal Sayid. But it's not just that we know he's Nachal Sayid. They knew he was Nachal Sayid. And a law was passed that they're not allowed to marry with the amongst the guy. They passed a law that a Yid is not allowed to fly the German flag. You could fly a Jewish flag that you're allowed to fly, but you're not allowed to fly a German flag. And ultimately, they made a law, and this is an interesting law. A Jew whose first names did not sound Jewish had to add another name, such as Israel, to his name. And a woman, a Jewish woman, who had a name that didn't sound Jewish, had to add a Jewish-sounding name to her name, such as Sarah. And their passports were stamped with a stamp that they were Jews. So as much as we tried, Nebuch, to be Mishana our names, and to be Mishana and to hide who we were, and Rachman l'slan afilu to ois mission zech tzivishin the goyim, every one of these laws were laws that weren't invented at this time. These are laws that go back to Maimed Har Sinai, or these are different milas that go back to Klal Yisrael. Afilu in Mitzrayim we were known that these are the things that we have to do in order to separate ourselves from the goyim. But there were many, many Yidden Nebuch, was am vergessen wegen die Sachen. So the one that reminded us of this, Achmana Litzlan, was our biggest Seine, the Germans. We all know about Kristallnacht. 1938 was Kristallnacht. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that. But as a result of Kristallnacht, again, there were more gezeiras that were made. Yidden aren't allowed to go to the same vacation sites that the goyim go. Jews are not allowed to attend German schools. You couldn't have your children sit in the schools together with the Germans. You have to make your own schools. You have to make yeshivas. There's a law passed by the Germans that you have to make yeshivas. You can't send your kids to the German schools. And there were 30,000 German, 30,000 Yidden that as a result of Kristallnacht were put into concentration camps. And they were allowed to leave the concentration camps on the condition that they leave Germany. If you have a way out of Germany, so then we'll let you out of the concentration camps, but we want you out of our country. We don't want you here. And there were Yidin Taka that as a result of this fled. They fled Germany. They ran away from Germany. There were Yidin Nebuch that couldn't run away. And the reason they couldn't run away was because there was no country that wanted to accept them. America had its laws. There was no great Rachmanis in America. America has laws, quota of how many Yidin could come in. Eretz Yisrael we couldn't go to because the English wouldn't allow us to go into Eretz Yisrael. Many different countries, although it wouldn't have made a difference to them, would not allow us to go into their country. And so many different Yidin were stuck. Stuck in Germany, stuck in Europe. And as a result of this, the historians claim that this is where Hitler, Yimach Shemai, came to the realization that if he changes his policy, not just to drive the Yidden out of Germany, but if he makes a policy to, Rachman Lislan, to destroy the Yidden, nobody is going to complain. Because obviously, there's very little sympathy amongst the people of the world for the plight of the Yidden that were living in Germany. The first ones that were persecuted by the Germans were the Jewish professors, the doctors, the lawyers, other professionals, scientists, mathematicians, and engineers. No matter how assimilated or how valuable a Jew was to society, there was no such thing as a German, a Jew, that could claim to be a German. He was a Jew, and because he was a Jew, Hitler did not want any chelik of him whatsoever. We know the history of the war. Little by little, the Germans took over different countries, countries where Yidden were living. And in the countries that these Yidden were living was Bederech Klal, countries where you had assimilated Yidden that were living. And so began the what we call today the Holocaust, Rachman Litzlan, where 6 million Yidden, Rachman Litzlan, were killed. And just before we end at this point, the first thing that we see very, very clearly, and I could say it's almost fantastic, you go through, I could say mind-boggling, when you go through the different gezeiros that were passed, how things were turned upside down, how because Yidden didn't have a pride in who they were, and they felt that they were less than they were, so then we were made less than that. Am bozi. We were looked at as an am bozi. All these were different lessons that Klal Yisrael should have chapt a tzitta from. The people that weren't Shemit Torah mitzvahs, that they should have chapt a tzitta from. But Bederech Klal, it didn't happen. And so the war spread into different countries. And as a result of that, we have the existence of what we call the Holocaust, where Rachman Litzlan, 6 million Yidden were killed. I mean, next time, Yitz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about how this sinna itself that he had against the Yidden brought about his downfall, and talk a little bit about the matzav of the Fruma Yidden that was going on during the war, and how the Fruma Yidden dealt with the situation, and how our Hashkafa was, and how we dealt with the matzav of the Muhammad that was taking place in Europe at that time.